Thank you for joining us again at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. If you've been tuning in to us the last 3 weeks, we've been discussing Luke 23, the crucifixion. We've talked about the glory of God and how it can be under control, and he can conceal it, reveal it. And in 23, 44 through 56, we'll discuss the glory modeled and also how it's poured out.
He's so beautiful.
He's so beautiful.
Wait. I don't know. I'm just so blessed by all that Jesus has done for us and how he's so faithful. Mm-hmm. And here we're going to see that from the moment he started his ministry, he said, I'm not here to do my will. I'm here to do the will of the Father. Mm-hmm. And that was the glory controlled. Mm-hmm. And we were allowed to see just a glimpse of his glory at the Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. But then he kept it in control again. Until this moment where he totally releases himself in complete surrender and pours out his glory that we might have eternal life. Mm-hmm. And it's incredible that he did that for us, and it blows my mind. So Sandy's going to read for us our chapter, I don't remember, 23.
44.
I went
44.
Blank. Chapter 23, verses 44 through 56, I think.
Correct.
Yep.
All right.
Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. When Jesus cried out with a loud voice, he said, excuse me, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breasts and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision, and indeed he was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it with linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of rock, where no one had ever lain before. That day, with preparation, and the Sabbath drew near, and the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment.
Thank you for the reading of God's word. Okay, this is it. This is the hour, and darkness falls. It's not just darkness where they're at. What you have to know is that it was the entire earth. And one commentator said, what you have to understand is when the sun dies, the S-O-N, the sun, S-U-N, cannot shine. Mm-hmm. That the grief even of creation could not handle the death of the Son of God. And so the gift that we have is that when this moment happens, the curtain in the temple tears. And the uniqueness of it is that it tears from top down. Mm-hmm. It tears from heaven to earth. And that is to show that it's not by man's hands. Mm-hmm. It's by the hand of God that this has occurred, and that we are no longer separated from the Father, that we are able to go to him because of what he's done. And Jesus, in saying it is finished, he's using the Greek words tetelestai, which I'm probably saying that wrong, so please forgive me, Greek scholars, but it means to be paid in full. And so he has completed the will of the Father. And this we have to take in contrast to the fact, remember that it was according to the crowd's will that he was being crucified. So do you see how God was even using their mob mentality to fulfill what was his plan all along? And the thing that astounds me more than anything is that it says, and that those that had walked and followed left beating their breasts and went away.
And that's how they mourn, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And so the very ones that put him on the cross ended up leaving in grief.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. That causes me to pause. I just, it's like, okay, how to have gotten to where they got to that place, I don't know. And I don't know, have you ever had where you've done something and you really thought you were doing it for the right reason, mm-hmm. but then when you were done, you were like, oh my goodness, what did I just do? Mm-hmm. And you know, in the process, you're not even realizing that you're moving towards something that's really dark. And then afterwards, you're like, oh, wow, mm-hmm. what just happened? And how was I a part of this? And, yep. you know, and it just makes you sick. I can't even imagine what they felt.
Oh, yeah.
When that mm-hmm. happened. And to be thinking through that. And then the blessing of Joseph, who mm-hmm. was one of the religious leaders that did not partake. Now, what you have to understand is the accusers had been there all along. What Joseph does in going to Pilate and asking permission to bury Jesus, that put him at great risk, mm-hmm. especially if the crowd was still riled up, but no one followed and no one contested.
Mm-hmm. That says a lot right there.
Right there, because they've all left because they have realized what mm-hmm. they have done. And so he is free to go and get Jesus's body. And this grave that he would have provided would have been a family grave, and they're extremely expensive and was a very costly offering. And but Jesus only stayed in it for 3 days.
That's right.
It was temporary. He just didn't know that it was temporary. He thought it was permanent. And mm-hmm. so what a gift that he gave to yeah. our Lord, mm-hmm. you know, to see the beauty of his gift. And
that
what,
was his small sacrifice mm-hmm. compared to Jesus' yeah. large sacrifice.
Yeah, and so that's kind of amazing in of itself. And so looking at just all of that that happens here, now I want us to start reflecting on the things that we should be pondering, because we've read what he went through here and how his glory has been poured out, and to be thinking through that. So the different people and their responses, and what would our response have been like?
Mm-hmm. Makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We hope we're in awe of his sacrifice, and, you know, we want to be at his feet. Mm.
For certain, like when we're doing the Lord's Supper now,
remembrance.
Mm. Yeah. We need to take the time to reflect on that.
Absolutely.
Some things that we should think about. Can we expect that justice is going to happen where among people?
On earth?
Well, yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
I wish you could have seen Carrie's face. It's like, what are you talking about? No, of course not.
The human in us?
Yeah. No. We cannot expect. So this is a lesson we learn from this. So when we're interacting with people and we think, where's justice? Yeah. Honestly, like right now, apart from Christ, justice is not going to happen.
No.
What is the evidence that we'll suffer when we're doing the will of God based on this story?
Quite strong.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. Like, based on the example we see here, mm-hmm. anyone that was in pursuit of honoring God suffered.
Yeah, they still do.
Yeah.
A lot of Christians are crucified.
So the cool thing is they believe that Simon the Cyrene, two of his sons were a part of the church. That is why he was in town. That's kind of like his story. And that he ends up actually being one of the big people that helps out in the growth of the church. So that's kind of fun, and hearing about that a little bit of the extra biblical.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Plus, Joseph was Sanhedrin, wasn't he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so for him to take that stand, he stood. Mm-hmm. He stood strong for Jesus.
It's
a good example.
One person of courage.
Yes.
Well, and he didn't have to fear Pilate or anybody, because they would have given him the body. It was his own that he had to fear.
Right. Yeah, it was for himself. Yeah. It wasn't for Jesus, because Jesus was dead.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He put him at tremendous risk to do that. Yeah,
he did.
All right. What is the lesson about self-interest and self-ambition in this passage? The dangers of it.
I was going to say, it doesn't usually go very well.
Right.
So,
I'm just looking at 48 and 49. So the crowds that assembled for the spectacle, they're the ones that are beating their breasts. So they're the ones that were concerned about themselves. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him stood at a distance watching these things. So they were just standing there.
Mm-hmm.
observing. Not just watching it, but they weren't.
They didn't know what to.
They didn't know like, what
they
to
have,
do.
They yeah. had no.
They didn't join in, but they didn't know what else to do.
Yeah, what do you do at this point? They weren't.
Well, they had no say. One, they're women. Culturally, they had no value, and they had no say. And
but Jesus sure gave them a lot of value,
right? And they would have been killed. They would have just been struck and killed. Yeah. You know, it just they had no ability to say or do anything, but they.
Yeah.
They tried to do all the things they could do within the law. Mm-hmm. They showed up with the frankincense and myrrh to come and lay his body to rest. And, waha! Guess who gets to find out? Yeah, we'll get to that next time.
That's right.
We'll look at that one next time. Okay. How about the importance of guarding innocence? How many people called him righteous or innocent in this passage? Pilate?
Pilate did, because he said, I do not find him guilty.
Uh-huh. What about the end?
The thief at the end.
The thief on the cross. And then at the end, who else? A Roman soldier.
Oh, yes, the centurion.
So three times.
He was found innocent.
By those that were part of the process and observing. So the leader, the criminal, and the soldier. Mm-hmm. Do you see how that represented all three aspects of society?
It did. Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter, you know, what level of society you were. Mm-hmm. Three levels of society recognized his innocence and proclaimed it. Okay. Thinking through him as the good shepherd and how he handled glory. Mm-hmm. How are you going to look at his glory now, knowing that we should be considering he was sentenced to glory?
I think it's like beyond our brain, you know, to understand that glory.
Yeah. You know. The point was he came to die on that cross.
Right. Mm.
That was, and his glory could not be revealed.
Stopping it. Yep.
It could not be revealed in the fullness unless he went to the cross.
Right. Because he died for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you think about that, placing all that sin on him of the world.
Willing to overlook the faults.
Mm-hmm.
And willing to not be a part of the strife.
Right. And encourage people along the road.
Right.
You know, as he's
dying and carrying that. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. As we reflect on Jesus dying on the cross, we have to think through what that means for us. How are we going to apply that into our lives? What does that look like for us as believers? Why is it important for us to know this? I had a good friend, as you're thinking, I'll let you process. I had a good friend of mine who is not a believer. She's a very dear friend, though. She's a lifelong friend. We've known each other, I don't know, over 30 years. And she said, I don't understand why you have to constantly be going about the cross. Mm. Just give me the baby and leave it alone.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
So why do we need the cross?
Well, that's the only way. Without the cross, without him dying, we will never have eternal life
with
God and Jesus. Yeah, it's just not there without the cross. We have to have the cross.
It's the fullness of the glory of God revealed.
That's the end of the story, kind of, you know, where he finished everything for us.
He completed it, and then when he rises, as we get to next.
Yeah, his birth is the beginning.
Our next recording, right.
Yeah.
The birth is just the start.
Yeah,
beginning. We can't be made new unless we die.
That's right. Okay. Died our own sins and ourself.
Okay. What about the temple curtain ripping? What does that say to you?
We have access to God,
mm-hmm.
which we never had before. And they didn't either. Mm-hmm. The high priest was the only one that could even go in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Well, and he was the high priest that died.
Mm-hmm.
He died for
right,
us.
He
was the perfect sacrifice, yes.
And to this day, did you know that they do not do sacrifices anymore?
Yeah.
And so even though by faith, the Jewish tradition does not follow Christ.
Mm-hmm.
By faith, the day he died, their traditions changed. Mm-hmm. The Sanhedrins died, and the sacrifices died. They were never done again.
I didn't realize that.
And so even historically, what has happened by faith, and the changes happened by faith, they still have not believed.
Mm-hmm. I know,
Okay. Mm. When we're pondering him sitting on the cross, hanging on the cross, and the conversations that occurred, Who were the people that he talked to? Who were the ones he responded to?
Well, he talked about Mary to John, about this is my mother.
Yeah, and that's not in this particular. Not in this gospel. Yeah. But yes, he did. Yeah, mm-hmm. He prepared for his mother. Mm-hmm. Okay.
He's always preparing for people, encouraging them.
I know. Keep in mind.
The conversation with the thieves.
He can't. It's excruciating.
Excruciating
pain.
Right. Crucifixion.
And he provided for his mother. Okay, mm-hmm. Who else did he talk to in this journey?
The daughters of Jerusalem. What was it? The daughters mm-hmm. of
the women weeping.
Who knew him.
Yeah. The women that were weeping and mourning him. Mm-hmm. And who else?
The criminals.
Yep.
The thieves.
He said, well, he talked to God too about forgiving them.
Mm hmm.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Forgive them for what they do.
Right.
They do not know.
Okay,
no.
So that was the next thing. So what is forgiveness based on Scripture? Tell me all the things that we know about forgiveness that Jesus taught while he walked on this earth. Where to?
Always forgive. Oh. Always love.
We're to forgive as we have been
forgiven.
And how many times are we to forgive?
70 times 70 is infinitely.
It's infinitely. Does it, anywhere in Scripture does it say we are to forgive ourselves?
No.
Correct. Why?
Because he's forgiven us.
It's not our job to forgive ourselves.
Yeah.
Correct.
I never thought about that.
We're sinned against
though,
God. We're not sinning against ourselves.
Okay.
Right.
How often have we put that in our culture that we have to forgive ourselves?
Absolutely.
A lot.
Okay. What needs to happen instead of that?
We have to ask for forgiveness.
We have to ask, and we need to receive
it.
We have to believe that
receiving
it has
is
been,
very important.
Yes.
I think a lot of people don't, they ask, but they don't receive it.
They're not willing to accept that it has been dealt with where?
At the cross.
Which is the reason why we need to remember the cross.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That is why it can't stay with just the baby. The baby is what made the way mm-hmm. and began his journey.
Mm-hmm.
But the cross is what finished and completed it, and the resurrection is mm-hmm. we're going to study the next month.
And that's why I said it is finished.
Correct. Right. And so for those of us that are listening and we're struggling with the reality that we have sin, mm-hmm. and we know, I don't know, we've stolen, we've lied, we've cheated, we've used the Lord's name in vain, mm-hmm. We've coveted, we've lusted, I mean, all the Ten Commandments. Or mm-hmm. I know culturally people don't want to look at those anymore, but reality is we need to.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe you're struggling with, have you been forgiven? Well, Jesus has dealt with it at the cross. It's your choice to see the glory that has been given and to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a matter of just believing that he died on the cross so that your sins have been forgiven.
Amen.
We're so glad you're listening. God bless.